Hello, folks. We got a special episode coming today on Wild Word. So we're going to be talking about teaching, and we're going to have the honor to have three other teachers in the building. Our first guest on the Wild Word podcast. And we're going to be just rapping about teaching, you know? So, you know, talking about the ins and outs, the art and science of teaching. Stay tuned. Wow. Okay, hello. So we're back. So this is Wild Word. So we are here with my three esteemed guests. They are all educators. So I'm just gonna let them all go around the room and introduce themselves real quick. So we got
Miss J, fourth grade English and social studies.
Okay, Miss J, welcome. Welcome to the podcast.
And I'm Mr. K. I teach Spanish 5th to 8th grade.
Okay, welcome, Mr. K. Happy to have you.
And Mr. Z, I'm an art teacher, K to 8th.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Z, for coming in to spread your expertise. Okay, so we're going to get into this. So the first question is, because, you know, when the people approach me on the street or my students, they always say, why did you get into teaching? So I can go first. I pretty much got into teaching. So I teach 9th grade. I'm a history teacher. And I got into teaching because I want my students to have a love for learning. You know, I want them to be lifelong learners. And really, I also want them to be involved in trying to make positive change in the world. You know, I want them to be educated and informed citizens, you know, voting and making, you know, making change where they see fit. Okay. So I very much want them to see what we teach in the classroom as being relevant to their lives. Okay. So that's why I got into teaching. So Miss J, we'll just spread some light on why you got into the profession.
Well, my mother was an educator, and originally I said I never wanted to be a teacher. Mm-hmm. And I saw what she did all the time, and I was always grading papers and helping her fix her desk and setting up classrooms. And oh, geez, I don't want to do that. Mm-hmm. But what always happens, you know, you grow up and you see the importance that the effect that she had on people's lives. Mm-hmm. There are people that when we've been out, you know, then they were her students 20 years ago, who think back on lessons and experiences that they had with her that they never forgot. And the fact that when you can be that, like, I guess, thing that someone experienced and they never forget it. They learned it. They mm-hmm. learned something from you that they never forget. So I just really always liked that when I would meet her students years later. She may not even have thought that she had that effect on them. Mm-hmm. But when she would meet students years and years later and the gratitude that they had, I thought that was really cool. So went into the profession for that.
That's what's up. They have the lifelong impact. That's so great when you see that in the store. You happen to see them and they come up to you and they're like, oh, you know. I'm like, this is why I did this. This is why I put up with you all day.
All my time. So it takes a long time for it to come back to you.
Yeah, like it's a good decade or so. Yeah.
At the dry cleaners, but, you know, it comes back to you.
Yeah, so that's what makes it worth it. Okay, excellent. Mr. K, so come on up a little bit. Come on up. So what did you, so why did you get into teaching?
Basically, for me, actually, teaching came as an accident. Miss J said, I also never wanted to become a teacher. I had seen my uncle when I was growing up as a teacher in my in um, in Togo. I grew up in Togo, so it was pretty hard seeing him as a teacher because over there teachers were not well paid, and basically they had a lot of issues, and so I told myself I would actually never be a teacher. But it just happened by accident. I got an offer, and I said, you know what, let's try it out. And my first year, I have to say, I kind of enjoyed it a lot. And so now I can say that being a teacher is all about connecting with students and basically being like communicating with them, like trying to meet them where they're at and try to instill knowledge and basically something in them. And so you really see how they change, you know. You really see how when you start the school year and until and when you end it, you really see how they change, you know, and how they grow from whatever they're learning. And so it's really a blessing to see that, and it's really a blessing to see also how much they start caring about you and you start caring about them, vice versa. And so it really becomes a thing where both of you touch each other in some way, and both of you have a lot to learn. You have a lot to learn from them, and they have a lot to learn from you. And so I like that exchange, actually, about being a teacher provides to both students and teachers.
Okay, that's excellent, excellent. So we're so happy that you came into the teacher profession. Okay, so something that drove you to want to do this. Okay, so that's excellent, that's excellent. So you definitely want to see that growth, you know. We all love that. So, all right, Mr. Z, what's going on? Why did you become a teacher?
So for me, teaching was actually something that was on my horizon. It was something that I wanted to do. I actually saw myself being a teacher. Initially, I thought it was going to be down the road, you know, a little bit after. As I said, I'm an art teacher, so that means I'm also an artist myself. And there are projects that I would like to work on. Initially, my goal was to get into, you know, doing graphic design or doing animation. But as I was doing it, I saw that I didn't have the passion to do projects for other people, but I did want to help people. Mm-hmm. And then that led me to teaching artists to become their own independent artists, their own independent entrepreneurs, people who do want to create something, mm-hmm. and promote themselves and market themselves. So even though I didn't have the passion to work for other people, I do have the passion to help people who want to work for themselves. And that's what led me to teaching.
That's beautiful, beautiful. So you're not going to give me a bad grade for having stick figures, right? In your class. I'm not an artist at all. I'm not an artist at all.
I try not to grade. I don't grade based on what the art is. I grade based on what are we trying to accomplish. So we're trying to accomplish whatever you can. My assignment is draw wherever you at when you first enter my class, and all you can do is take figures. That's fine. But as we go on, you need to make the effort to try to get better. So that's stick figure becoming box figure. That's progress.
Mm-hmm. You gotta have an elbow.
So, yeah, you gotta have something.
There's always something for you to do to get better. You don't have to stay at the stick figure. People who stay at the stick figure, that's just, they don't want to get the effort even because, you know, sometimes, I know some people can be, it's definitely difficult to put yourself out there and try to put, you know, say, I created this, mm-hmm. look at this. So I do see why people are nervous about it, but I'm not going to give you an F for stick figure.
All right. Thank you. Thank you. So we're getting all the secret tea from the teaching profession. Okay. So everything you need to know. All right. So let's get into the second question is, how can we, or how do you try to make teaching exciting and relatable to the kids? As a history teacher, that is always a big challenge because people hear history and they immediately, you know, start.
Oh, they shut
going, up. Yeah, they shut up. They immediately start going to sleep, you know, so they're like, oh, I don't like history. Blah, blah, blah. So what are some ways y'all try to make the teaching exciting? You know, so I'll go last this time. So Miss J, how do you try to make your subject exciting?
It is so tricky because I do reading and social studies, so we do have that commonality with the history factor.
Mm-hmm.
But when they come into my room and, you know, I meet them like, oh, we're going to read something, they're like, ah, you and your books. I always just try to connect it to something that they like. So one thing that's really important to me is always giving my kids diverse texts. Mm-hmm. So they need to be reading about characters that look like them, that, you know, characters with braids and cornrows and that are overseas riding camels and mm-hmm. or, you know, in India eating rice, like whatever it is, like I want my students to experience more than your traditional classics. So mm-hmm. like it's not just Shakespeare and Homer. There are lots of different stories and characters that I'm hoping that they can connect with. So mm-hmm. my first thing is always like finding different texts, different cultures so that they can see other people or see themselves mm-hmm. In their textbooks. So that's the first thing. The other thing, technology, YouTube, videos. If there is a rap about it, I'm like, we're going to find this and break this down. So I'm the flowcabulary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's really good.
That's it.
Yeah.
You got to have something that I try to do music and everything that we do. So I'm like, you know, Miss J, we like music in my room. So I'm going to find something to play throughout the story, throughout the classroom. So my students know I have a warm-up mix. Mm-hmm. So when you're in my classroom and we're just like, you know, maybe we jotting down some notes or we getting ready to read a story, they know the first 15 minutes they come in my class, it's the same track over and over, and it's just that one instrumental and they bumping, but it's that, you know, it's that big. Maybe I play Biggie every day for 1 month, and they know that for every day for 1 month they can get the same track over and over. But it like lets them know that, okay, I'm going to be focused. I'm going to be on it. I'm going to be intrigued by whatever it is that we're doing. Mm-hmm. So music is an excellent way to just get them interested in whatever it is that we're doing.
Okay. So that's like a carrot, as they say, the positive reinforcement.
Yeah, we're going to hear this music for, now, if you read for 20 minutes, you know you're going to get to listen to this music.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to, you know, if I was able, I sometimes think I can rap, so I don't know. I might have to just start rapping some of this history. Dropping bars for the history, man. Dropping bars for the history so they can get it, you know. So I don't know. But Mr. K, so what do you do? So what do you try to do to make it exciting or interesting for the kids?
So I teach Spanish, and so for a language course, it needs to be interactive. So it's very important for the students to have a voice, to be able to speak, to be able to voice their opinions or what they like, their interests. So that's very important. And the second thing I've noticed, which makes my class a little bit more interesting, is that students have to be creative. You know, when a student is only passive, only just listening to the teacher, and that's all there is in the class, it gets pretty boring for them because they're young, very energetic. They want to feel like they have a part or a say in the class. And so mm-hmm. what I do is that I try to, even though I'm not an art teacher, I try to make the class interactive and make them try to create stuff, like whether it's maybe write an essay on what they like to do, or a different subject, or whether it's even drawings. I even implement drawing parts in my class, and it could be also music and Spanish songs, you know, that makes them remember the lyrics and remember the tunes. And so that's how I try to make my class a little bit more interactive and interesting.
That's what's up. So I'm hearing a common theme with music. So I definitely, if I'm a teacher or I'm a parent trying to teach my kid, you know, you at home. So definitely trying to find, like you said, some rapping videos. Or if you can rap yourself, hey, put the instrumental on. Just go. Let's go 8 Mile. Let's just go at it. Let's go for it. Let's go. All right, and Mr. B, what do you do? What's the secret sauce in the classroom to try to make it exciting?
So I noticed that a lot of times the teachers try to add the interest or get the interest for students. They go to the creativity side.
Mm-hmm.
So as an art teacher, you know, the creativity should already be there. So then what I do is I allow students to personalize it. So, you know, whenever you create an art, you pretty much want to have your soul in whatever you create.
Mm-hmm.
So that gives pretty much, I guess, students a chance to voice whatever's on their mind through their art. No, you know, no judgment. There's no negativity. Whatever you want to create, as long as it's within the guidelines of what we're doing. So we're doing clay. You can create whatever you want out of clay, as long as you use the techniques that we practice.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of what you create, then that's not up for me to judge. I'm only looking at the technique, the processes, the use of the materials. But when it comes to my class, that's how I get students to pretty much be interested in it. There's no, I know a lot of times they're looking for the right answer,
mm-hmm.
and they try to translate that to art. There's no right answer. It's how you use the process, and everyone uses the process differently.
Mm-hmm.
So what you create in the end, that's not up for me to judge. So they put their thoughts into it. So that's how they find it free.
Mm.
And that's how they get interested in art.
Mm, okay. It sounds like some life lessons in there too, you know, about everyone has their own process and own path and everything too. So
yes.
So that, you know, so I like that. I like that. All right. So yeah, so just for me too, we are in the same profession. So, you know, I find that music works. I find that videos work, and I try to do even them trying to act or something like that, like a skit or something. So sometimes that goes well, sometimes it doesn't. So, you know, I'm just being honest. So sometimes it goes well, sometimes it doesn't. So how do you know when a lesson is going well? So what's the thing that tells you, like, hey, they're in it? You know, for me, I just know, like, when I don't have a lot of discipline issues and a lot of people and the students are involved and they're doing it and we're doing some type of game, we're doing Kahoot, that is when it's almost no issues, because when they're in it, you know, I don't have to fight them to try to force you to learn about, you know, Abraham Lincoln or something. I don't have to force it on you. Or if I'm able to ask a question that kind of pricks something in them already, you know, there's something they already kind of have a feeling about, you know. So that's always a little challenging, but when you do it, I love seeing that. I love when that it's like light
the
goes
light
on in their eyes, and I'm like, I don't even have to do the work, it's just I gotta manage it now, you know. So that's why I can know when a lesson is going well. So what about you, Miss J?
One of my teaching mentors said, when you step out of the role of teaching and just become facilitator,
mm-hmm.
or you can, it's like you become the fly on the wall in the room.
Mm.
So when your students are so engaged by the lesson that you don't even really need to teach, you're just letting them do the learning with each other.
Mm.
And like you said, that light bulb moment. I mean, we're all looking for that. Like that's when your students ask you, like, you know, what do you like about teaching? I'm like, when you get it, when you learn something.
Yeah,
I feel like I'm doing my job.
Preach.
When you got it, and it's like you got it, and you don't even need me to tell you anymore,
because
I'm up here telling you. You know, I'm up here telling you. That's what I'm doing. I'm constantly telling you, like, this is what it is. This is how we get it. This is what I want you to do.
Mm-hmm.
But when you do it on your own, and it doesn't require like that interaction from me,
mm-hmm.
and then when you can challenge your peers to also do it too.
Yeah.
That's like the ultimate moment. So the other day, and this was my online lesson, now I got excited about this. We were going over the race format. So it's, you know, restate the question, answer the question, cite evidence from the text, and you want to explain it.
Mm-hmm.
So they know, Miss J always say, if you're going to give me an answer, you got to tell me why you have that opinion. You got to cite from the text. You got to restate the question and the answer. So if you're not telling me, you know, what's the answer? How do I know that that's the answer? You're not giving me no evidence that it's the answer. And then you got to cite where you got, you know, that opinion or you know, just from the text.
Yeah.
So if you don't go through all the stages, then I'm like, it's an incomplete answer.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been working on this all year long. So they know. So normally, they'll say, you know, we were reading an article about education in the classroom that was edible education. So
mm-hmm.
learning how to pick food or grow food and stuff like that, and
ooh, that's
why you may want to do that at your school. So
mm-hmm.
the question was, you know, would you like to have edible education at your school? So we read the article and it's like, yeah, I agree with that. I want that in my school because it's good to learn about nutrition. It's good for the environment and it like builds team building and stuff like that. So that would be like a perfect answer.
Yeah.
So everybody went around and said their part, said their piece. And then there was like one girl that said, I would like to have that at my school. And that was it. That was her only like part of it. Mm-hmm. So
she said, period.
That's it.
Period. Like, yeah, period. That's it.
I want that in my school.
That's it.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, the teacher in me wants to say, well, you know, I'm looking for you to restate.
Yeah.
Could you cite some evidence? Like, could you give me more? Yeah. You know, I'm ready to like, I'm wanting to take the step to ask her for more. Mm-hmm. And another student said, you didn't use the race format. He was like, that's an answer, but that ain't a full answer.
Oh,
like, that's they don't want that. She didn't recite. Yeah. You didn't answer the question. You didn't cite no evidence. All you told us was your opinion. That's not a full answer. I was like,
a teacher's heart is melting right there. Yeah.
I was like, look at him. I ain't even got to go there. Like,
he got it.
So, you know, it's like he checked her and then she did go back and submit a different answer. Mm. And I'm like, that lets me know that they got it. When they get to that point where they can even say, not okay, I know I got it, but let me help you.
Let
me help you out. Yeah. I got it. I know it. I can help my friend out. So it's like when they get to the point when they can teach somebody else, they've actually learned it.
They have.
So and it's like I took the step back. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't even have to do anything.
Yeah.
And I was just like, wow, you know, they checking each other.
It is.
I ain't got to do that. So, because, you know, me, I'm like, you know I'm getting ready to jump.
Yeah, it's hard. It's hard to let them do it. When it's hard to just not, like, just jump in and be, like, corrected.
Fix it.
When they do it themselves,
she took it to heart, you know, that, okay. Even he was like, you know, there ain't no full answer. You know, you giving me a BS answer. Like,
mm-hmm.
Come on. Like, get. We're all discussing the article we're all discussing will be read, like, let's actually unpack it. So mm-hmm. I was glad that they can challenge themselves. So
yeah,
happy moment right there.
That's what's up. Great. We love when they finally get it. There we go. Great.
That's the goal.
that's what we trying to do. So Mr. K, how do you know when the lesson is going well?
Now, I'll be honest with you guys, for me, it's a bit hard.
there we go.
It's hard for everybody.
It's hard for everybody. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
I'll be honest with you guys, it's a bit hard teacher management is hard. Mm-hmm. And so I've noticed that when they work together as a group, that's when things get better in my class.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I have them do things, like when I create groups and I put them on teams and stuff and have them like either talk together, do some conversational exercise or creative exercise, and they interact with one another instead of me always having to explain, you know, and put my voice in there, things get better. So I would say that definitely for me what works is creating groups, let them have a little bit of time where we're able to interact with each amongst each other and mm-hmm. also create stuff together. So that's when I know that things are working the most.
That's awesome. Yeah, the group work for me too. Yeah, it's always like it's a catch 22 because sometimes, you know, I'm like, I don't know where this gonna go, you know. So, you know, like I said, we're gonna keep it 100% and wild word, we're gonna keep it 100%. So, like I said, sometimes with me with the team, like when it goes well, the group assignments, I know that's what they want us to do. It's awesome. Like you said, when Miss J was saying that they come in and correct someone mm-hmm. else, that's awesome. But that group work, when you release them, you know, you don't know. It can go all the way. We don't know where this is going. So
that's when you know, still as a teacher, you still have to monitor a little bit. You still have to walk around the class mm-hmm. to make sure that every group is doing what they're actually supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it's good because you let them be a little bit more independent. And that's what they want. They want independence sometimes.
Yeah.
They don't want always somebody to tell them what to do, what to say, how to react. They want a bit of freedom. And this is when I am able to give them that. And I see that when the groups that get it, it's beautiful. It's beautiful to see because they're able to interact, create stuff, and I'm able to, I walk around and I'm able to see and hear and listen to their conversation, and I see who gets it and not. And so, yeah, but you're right. You're definitely right. It can go either way. So you always have to look, walk around and
balance.
Yeah.
And that's the eighth grade, right? Or the no.
That's kind of like actually that's the fifth and sixth grade.
Yeah. Okay.
And the seven and eight, a bit harder.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so Mr. Z, what about you?
So I want to touch on what Mr. Cage is saying about when his students are looking for freedom in his assignments. That's how I know when a lesson is going well in art class, is when students realize they have that freedom and they go beyond what I initially asked for. Because that's what I struggle with. Or that's what students struggle with understanding in art class, is that like, we don't just want, okay, I want you to create a house. We don't want you to just start drawing a house, windows, doors. No. We want you to take that house and add something that is only unique to you. And so that's when I know that students are really into a lesson and the lesson's going really well, is when students, I don't have to tell them to take that next step. What can you add differently? Like, yes, you technically did complete the assignment, but now where's your individual stamp on this? How can I recognize that this only belongs to Johnny?
Or
to Sarai? Or, like, that's how I know when that's going.
When they have that willingness to go beyond just the, like you said, directions. They want to put their own individual stamp on it.
They're not just like 2 + 2 = 4.
Just to get out the way. You can tell when they're doing it to get out the way. Like, all right, I'm done.
And I'm like, okay, y'all know, I've allotted like a month for you to build whatever you want to build.
Yeah.
But when they just say, okay, we did the project, what's next? Like, no, you only scratched the surface. And it's when those students say, oh, can I do this? Like, with no prompt. Like they just say, oh, can I add this? And say, yes, you can add this. Like, art class, that's the class when they say, can I do? And, you know, my answer is generally yes.
You can get all the extra toppings with the pizza. Yes. Do what you want to do. You want pineapples. You want this. You want that.
This is not the... 2-for-1 deal. We only get 1 topping per piece.
Yeah, put everything on there.
You get 12 toppings plus another 12 toppings. You put ice cream on pizza if you want.
Yeah.
Anything you want in this project, you can put to.
The more, the better.
Yes. It's about experimentation. You can't just experiment if you just take what I give you and that's it. So,
yeah, that's those valuable lessons. Okay, so it's been a wonderful conversation. So we got just one more topic. I want to my esteemed guest to shed light on, and that's school discipline. So I've been talking about, I already hear the laughs, so I already hear it, you know. So we're going to be real on the podcast, you know. So school discipline, okay. So we have a new initiative going around, in our state, and it's pretty much called restorative justice. Is that right? It's just restorative justice. Yes. And I've been reading some articles on it, and it seems like it's some type of new approach to discipline. And you know, we want to make sure that we don't, you know, feed the school the prison pipeline, so they don't want a lot of minority students, so Black and Hispanic in this state mostly. They saw that they were being, you know, suspended at a higher rate than other children, and the studies have shown that, you know, if you suspend a kid and they're suspended off campus, 9 times out of 10, you know, they have a higher likelihood of dropping out, you know, so, and then eventually going into prison. So because of that stark reality, you know, a lot of people have said, okay, let's do the restorative justice route, and let's have a new approach that's not so quick to just, you know, suspend and, you know, lead to that fate, you know, of the school to prison pipeline. So I want the teachers just to weigh in, you know, I'll go last. And what, you know, so what is your experience with this restorative justice and, you know, the pros, the cons of it, and, you know, what do you think of? So Miss J, so what do you think?
We can all jump in on it.
So
It's a lot. I mean, of course, the concept and theory behind it is, you know, excellent. You don't want to, you want suspension to be the last choice.
Mm-hmm.
You do. You don't want to think that, okay, sending you home or you losing a day of instruction or being out of school isn't going to solve your discipline or behavior problem. True. I give you that. I think the issue comes into play is restorative justice works if you are holding everybody accountable. So parents, child, school, environment, did they eat today? What is really going on? All of these things play a factor.
So, you know, before Miss J really goes in, we're going to take a brief break, and then we're going to go back into, we're going to, you know, go into this, this subject more in depth, okay? So stay tuned. Wow, Word Podcast, we're about to go deep into school discipline, for real, okay? So, you know, we'll have to, you know, I wanted to get deep into the restorative justice conversation. We didn't have enough time, unfortunately, but we'll definitely have them back on to dive deep into school discipline. You know, school discipline is a very, very complex conversation, but a very much needed conversation, you know. So, parents, teachers, and even students, you know, I think everybody would benefit from that type of conversation, you know. So, you know, we'll have it again, you know. So but next week we'll be talking more so about sports and, you know, so just anything that we want to talk about on Wild Word, you know. So that's how we do it. But we'll definitely have Mr. K. We'll have Miss J. And we'll have Mr. Z. We'll have them back on definitely for another time. But I would like to thank them again for coming on the podcast. And yeah, so it's been another episode of Wow!